Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today. All this week we've been looking at the parable of Jesus found in Matthew 24, verses 32 through 35, which discusses the establishing of the kingdom of God. These verses read as follows. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the very doors. But surely I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things are fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Our study up to this point this week has covered verses 32 and 33. So for today, we'll focus on verse 34 and we'll study it from the following 3 points. Number one, we'll look at the prediction of Jesus. Number two, the meaning of the phrase, all these things. Then number three, the meaning of the phrase, this generation. So let's look at the prediction of Jesus in verse 34. He says, "Assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things are fulfilled." If you've been listening to our studies this week, what I presented to you is that the all these things here in verse 34 as well as in verse 33 is a simple reference to the predictions that Jesus has made of the events that will take place during the tribulation period as described in Matthew 24. And I believe what Jesus is predicting very simply here is that this generation that sees the signs mentioned in Matthew 24, starting at verses 4 through 31, will be the last generation, and they will be the ones which will see the establishing of God's kingdom through His Son, Jesus Christ. And the phrase, pass away, means to be cut off or to die. So he's saying this generation will not die, it'll live and see the establishing of God's kingdom. And I think it's that simple. The second thing we need to look at is all these things, and since it's a repeat of what he said in verse 33, I'll just simply make a general statement. The all these things is what I've just referred to in Matthew 24, all the events of the tribulation period. And in our study yesterday, we looked at those events and mentioned what those are, those birth pangs, those labor pains, those beginnings of sorrow, such as wars and rumors of wars and famines and pestilences, the abomination of desolation when the Antichrist demands to be worshipped as God and stops the sacrificial system, as well as the second coming of Christ mentioned in verses 29 through 31. That generation that sees these events will be that last generation, and the Lord will establish His kingdom right there in His midst. And so he's saying that the kingdom of God will not be established in some long, slow process, but will take place instantly when the Lord returns. And that last generation will see these events, and they'll experience the end. They'll experience the end of the age when the Lord establishes His kingdom. Every detail of Matthew 24 will be fulfilled in their eyes in that last generation. So whatever generation is there, when they see the signs of Matthew 24 taking place, they will be that last generation. Now, no one knows when that'll take place, but when those events start taking place, that will be the absolute last generation, and they will see the Lord establish His kingdom on the earth. Now, coming to our third and last point for today, we need to understand the meaning of the phrase, this generation. Once again, reading verse 34 to set it in the context, Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things are fulfilled." There are 6 different viewpoints on understanding what this generation is. First of all, the term this generation can be a reference or can literally mean this nation. And some have understood this term to mean nation or group of people, so they would view it as the nation of Israel. And in that way, they'd say Israel not pass away until the kingdom of God is established. It's a prophecy of the fact that Israel will always exist on the earth as a people somewhere and will not be cut off before the Lord establishes His kingdom. It is possible by the language to interpret it this way, but chances are that Jesus would not refer to His people, the Jews, as this generation. He'd usually say, my elect, my people, my beloved, but He probably wouldn't use such vague language to describe the people that He loved. The second way this phrase, this generation, has been understood is that it's taken to literally mean a nation like in the first viewpoint, but it's understood to mean the nation of the ungodly. All the ungodly people will exist forever or until the kingdom is established. And that way it'd be interpreted to mean that the world's not going to get better and better as time goes on, but the ungodly will always be with us. But I would say this is a vague description of a truth that he's already listed in verses 4 through 31. This doesn't really add any further information to us and is actually stating the obvious. The third viewpoint is that the generation which sees Israel restored to the land, that'll be the generation which will see the kingdom of God established. That generation will not pass away until the Lord comes back. And in the past, it has been understood that this is a reference to what took place in 1948 when Israel became a nation again. Thus, a generation that existed to see that event will not pass away, and that would be our generation. And typically, it was understood in the past that a generation was viewed as 40 years and said that the Lord would come back around 1988, would put the rapture of the church in 1981. And I got saved in 1980 and was exposed to this idea at a very young age in my walk with the Lord. The problem is that 1981 came along and so did 1988, but none of these things took place. And now this position is being reinterpreted to view a generation as 100 years. And this is based on Genesis chapter 15, verse 16, which reads, "But in the fourth generation they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete." And then we find that being fulfilled actually 400 years later, so each generation would be 100 years in this understanding. Now, my fear is that the longer Christ does not come back, the longer a generation is going to be understood. I don't think that's the way this term, this generation, should be understood in light of the context. The fourth viewpoint is that the generation is a generation of the disciples. This is more the liberal viewpoint. Liberal theologians say that Jesus was talking about the generation exists when he taught this message. And they would say that he was wrong in his prediction. At this point, I think that's enough said to refute this idea. The fifth viewpoint is that this generation is a reference to the people alive when Jesus spoke these words. Now, those that hold to this viewpoint do not believe that Jesus was wrong and are usually conservative in their theology, but view the coming as taking place in 70 AD when the Romans came in and destroyed the temple and dispersed the nation of Israel. And they would understand all of Matthew 24 not as being prophetic for the last days, but it actually took place in 70 AD when the Romans came in, judged the nation of Israel, destroyed this temple, and drove them from the land. So they would understand his coming as coming in judgment. And usually those who understand the passage this way are amillennial, and they believe that Jesus in the future is going to come back at some point that no one knows, and he isn't going to establish his kingdom on the earth, but it will move right into that immediate eternal state right after a general resurrection and general judgment. And their viewpoint is that when the Lord comes back, everyone is going to be raised, then there'll be a judgment, and obviously those that have received Christ will enter into eternal life. Those others who have rejected the Lord will enter into eternal damnation. Now, the greatest weakness of this viewpoint is that some of the events in Matthew 24, which are described, did not take place in 70 AD, especially the sign of the Son of Man and those verses which refer to the second coming of Christ, such as verse 29 and 31, which says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken." That did not take place in 70 AD, nor did verse 30, which says, "Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Verse 31 as well, "And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." These things did not take place in 70 AD, obviously. And Jesus here, in the context, is saying this generation that sees these events in verses 29 through 31 as part of those events will not pass away. So the amillennial position is weak in trying to view it as the judgment which came upon Israel. And they would look at these as figurative terms rather than as literal events. And it's hard to understand verses 29 through 31 other than something absolutely literal and describing the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting when you look at the amillennial position, some would say, well, some of these events refer to 70 AD and just the verses, especially verses 29 through 31 and verse 27, refer to the second coming of Christ. But that's not what Jesus said. He didn't say the generation that sees some of these signs, but in verse 33, he says, "So you also, when you see all these things." Also, verse 34 says, "Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things are fulfilled." You can't have it both ways. You can't have it referring to 70 AD as well as the second coming, and Jesus saying all these things are going to be happening to that last generation, or that the last generation will see all these events. So the sixth and final way that this phrase, "this generation," has been interpreted, and I believe it to be the accurate one, is that this generation is a reference to the generation that sees all the events of Matthew 24 taking place before their eyes. What the Lord would be saying, that generation that sees these events will also see the establishing of the kingdom of God. The Lord will come back, will gather his elect, the Jews, from all over the globe, and bring them back to the land of Israel, bring his blessing, and according to Revelation chapter 20, will rule and reign for 1,000 years there on the throne of David. The generation that sees these events of Matthew 24 will see the establishing of God's kingdom. That generation will not pass away, will not be cut off, or will not die. They will actually see the Lord come back and establish his kingdom. And I think that's a simple explanation, which fits with the entire context of Matthew chapter 24. This also would help us understand verses 36 through 44, not as the rapture of the church, but what happens when the Lord immediately comes back is that he is going to bring judgment to those who have rejected him, which will be that main event which will happen before he establishes his kingdom of blessing, is to rid out all the ungodly out of his kingdom so he can bring blessing to his people that are loyal to him. That's what our studies will look at next week, is what takes place when the Lord comes back and brings his judgment. I hope that our study today has helped you understand verse 34, as well as the main events which will take place during the second coming of Jesus Christ. And we could help further your studies on any doctrinal or theological issue or on difficult passages of the Bible. That's our desire here. And if you'd like more information about studies we've done in the past, you could call us at our toll-free number at 1-877-941-LAMB. In order to tape catalog of the studies that we've done, or you could contact us on the web at www.calvarylm.org, where many of the notes that I use for our program are available, as well as an application for the correspondence courses that we offer, in any way that we can help you in your study of the Word of God. That is our supreme desire.